The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Side Studies.
Well, welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I am Rick Welch, and to my left is Kelly, the Nature Boy Coy.
Woo!
And last time we talked about Nature Boy being Primus, dance around the house Nature Boy. Yeah.
That's exactly.
You two need to get together and talk about music.
Let's clear the air before they all cook me to a crisp. I hit record, and somehow we got, I don't know, I'd say 15 minutes in or something. And I looked and oops, there was only 30 seconds of a recording. So sorry.
Well, that's okay. In regard to your love of music, you need to talk to this guy about music. He's got a great taste.
I love Primus.
Yeah. I do too. I mean, Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver is hilarious.
It is
I love
hilarious
that song.
Absolutely.
But anyway, behind the glass, Rocket Man Andy Bishop and one who's got, wow. That was really nice.
I just
nice.
Threw a little extra
that's
in there.
It's kind of like a rocket cat.
He's trying to kiss up.
Rocket. That's it. That's
exactly he's trying to fix it now.
Rocket cat. So, and then this man with so much taste.
Sultry.
Big Daddy Carter.
Sultry.
Well, would you guys say that we've persevered through this again?
Yes.
Again.
Let's persevere. We can do it.
I'm trying to
get everybody psyched up a little bit, you know, get that energy going.
Yeah, so what we wanted to talk about, we wanted to wrap up this study. And Kelly, this has been great. I'm so glad you brought this up because it's been fun and challenging. I went through a lot of verses of scripture, just kind of like understanding. It's kind of like just revisiting the things that I believe, but also some challenges, you know, like, when did I come to that thought? But today, I just wanted to talk about the perseverance of the saints, because when I grew up in churches, I went to several churches, but all of them were free will thinking, non-Calvinist churches. And so I did go to one church that taught that once you were saved, you were always saved. And then I went to another church that said, nope, you can lose your salvation. And I remember being so confused, and I was like, oh my gosh. And the thing is, there are verses that are in the scripture that, you know, that can really mess with your head, and you can be thinking like, whoa, wait a minute, can I lose my salvation? And then you got verses like, you absolutely can. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, right? So you're like, well, which is it? How does this work? And what part is me? And is it my will or is it God's will? And what's the title of this called? How sovereign is our God. So what I want to do is I'm going to read you guys a few verses, okay, that are from the perspective of how you could lose your salvation. That these are the verses that kind of throw us off a little bit. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and we will read verse 15. And that's kind of cool because last time I read the wrong
15,
verse.
I think.
Yeah, it was 14. You're right. The last time I read the wrong verses, so you don't even know I made that mistake.
Covered up.
So it's, yeah, exactly. So if you remember,
that's how people look so smart, people. They whenever, just delete the old
so
stuff.
In the prayer that whenever the disciples—
not live.
Right. Jesus, his disciples came to him and said, I want to learn how to pray. How do I pray? So he tells them how, right? And he says, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That you've heard that, what they call the Lord's Prayer. Well, at the bottom of it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14— it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that was the question that I had, which was, well, wait a minute. If I go through my life and I decide I'm not going to forgive this person, will the Father forgive me? So what part of my will is involved in this? See what I mean?
What part of your will is involved?
Well, think about it.
Okay, so how much influence do you have over it?
Well, that's the idea. Right, if you don't forgive others, then your Father won't forgive you. That's an if, then, and, right? So for me, that argument is, okay, if I don't forgive others, he will not forgive me. Therefore, if he doesn't forgive me, I cannot be saved.
Right.
So the question is, well, were you saved in the first place?
Isn't that kind of almost like a works thing?
Well, this is something that Christ commanded himself. That's the laws of Christ. That's his law.
Kelly pointed out earlier in the one that I threw away, spitefully.
spitefully.
The truth comes out now.
Pre-crucifixion, and he felt like that kind of, that colored the thing too. So colored the statement, yeah.
Another verse comes out of Matthew chapter 10, and Jesus is telling his disciples like what's coming to them. You know, it's not the full-on Olivet Discourse, but it's sort of the precursor to the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 10. And so he tells them this one part. He says, "For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." And the reason he says that is because don't be anxious. People are going to bring you before the courts, and they're going to ask you questions. Don't be anxious, because the Father's going to give you utterance. He's going to help you speak at this point. And in verse 21, it says, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." And so that one, I don't think he's talking about salvation at all in this. I think he's talking about this destruction of Jerusalem, this coming judgment, and that they have to escape it. He tells them to flee to the mountains in the Olivet Discourse. He takes it a little further. And so I think when he says, if you endure, in other words, if you follow what my words say, you're going to be saved from that coming destruction. They could have been a believer that died in Jerusalem, but they would have been saved. But he's telling them, salvation-wise, you would have been good, but getting out of the city, you might not be. You have to endure. You have to hear my words. You have to follow. I think that's what he means.
Sure.
But I don't know for certain.
Yeah, I mean, that's speculative.
It is. All right, so let's go to Matthew 19, verse 21. All right, so here, Jesus is speaking again, right? Let me give you the context here. This rich young ruler comes up to him, and he says, "Jesus, what must I do to be saved?" And he says, "Well, what does the law tell you?" And he starts reciting the Ten Commandments, and he says, you're right. If you do those things, then you'll have eternal life. He says, But Lord, I've done all these things since I was a youth. And it says Jesus had compassion on him, or he loved this young man for asking this question. He could see he was in turmoil. And so he tells him, "If you would be perfect, go. Sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." So when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Well, who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible." So in other words, in that context, if that rich man who had kept the law pretty much, we all know that no one perfectly kept it, only Christ did. But in this young man's mind, he believed that he was. And so he said, how do I get to eternal life? This rich young ruler hears back from him, "Just go sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, then come and follow me." Well, what's the point? He's going to follow Christ. That's the idea. Eternal life comes through Christ. So if this rich young ruler didn't follow Christ, he's not a believer. Right? So that's not really about losing salvation. He really didn't have salvation in the first place.
That's what I was getting to the first time that we tried to do this, is the sower.
He's going to keep digging in. Andy, like, sticking
in. What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything.
That's funny.
So the sower and the seed parable, you got basically four different scenarios. You got the seed that falls by the wayside that the birds come and eat and everything like that.
Right.
So that one obviously went in one ear and out the other. Then you got the seed that falls on the rocky soil, springs up quickly, much like somebody who goes into a revival, comes out, "I'm saved." And then tomorrow they forget what
that's, yep.
And then you got the one that falls amongst the thorns and the thistles, and it sprouts up, but it has no, it gets choked out by all the other plants and fades away. That's somebody who obviously believes for a little while, but again, perseverance of the saints, that's the one that falls on the good soil and produces 10, 20, 30 fold.
Yes.
So there's a picture there that the ones who overcome are the ones who fall on the good soil.
Yes. And the idea here is that if you are truly a saint, you will persevere. Yep. If you don't endure, that tells you who you were.
So these verses, I think Jesus is almost saying that to them, that, you know, all you got to do is do this and you'll be saved. Mm-hmm. But that's the one thing that he knows that they just can't do.
Right. Yep. You know what I always liked about the rich young ruler? I've never been taught this before, but I've picked up on it myself. And I thought, this is interesting. It said that the rich young ruler was disheartened and he went away sorrowful.
Right.
Why was he sorry?
Because that was the one thing he couldn't give up.
However, he believed what Jesus said.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Maybe.
Well, yeah, he had to.
Did we have proof that he went and sold everything and gave
it to
the Lord?
No. Not that he sold everything, but that he believed his path to salvation.
The fact that he became disheartened means he believed what Jesus said.
Because
he said, how do I gain eternal life?
Yeah.
And he says, well, you know what it says, do all this. Well, I've done that. And he was like, right, but if you want to be perfect, then go sell all these things, distribute it poor, and come follow me. That hurt him, and he thought, oh, that's something I can't do. Why? Because he believed what Jesus said.
He believed him, yeah.
Now, Judas believed him too. That doesn't mean he was saved, but it definitely means that he believed what Jesus said in regard to eternal life. That's unique. And by the way, I feel like I've been every one of those grounds that you described.
Yeah, well,
you know what
maybe,
I mean?
But at the same time, you ever seen a piece of land that won't grow grass for the longest time, and then out of nowhere it just grows it up?
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What happened? What changed? Nothing changed.
If it rained, maybe it had some good old acid rain.
Something, but you're just like.
Some nutrient rain.
This has been dirt for years, and all of a sudden now grass grew up. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, so, you know, and God, he loves to talk about the earth. You know, God, he uses the earth in a lot of his illustrations.
Right.
Christ uses the earth in a lot of his illustrations. And you remember, God had certain rules about the land. You know, every 7 years, you don't plant. You don't plant for a whole year.
I wish that applied to work.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, right.
You know what my favorite Bible verse, one of my favorite Bible verses, when it talks about a newlywed in the Old Testament, that the young man cannot work for a year because he needs to make his wife happy.
Oh, wow.
We work more than anybody has ever worked historically.
Oh, I know.
Absolutely. Like, that is an absolute literal truth. We work more now than humans have ever worked.
I know Kelly does. He's daylight to dark, carrying stuff, mad as hell. Just mad as hell.
I'm probably going to die of cancer.
They said...
you remember that PlayStation game called Twisted Metal?
More than a couple hundred years ago, humans worked like 4 hours a day on average, just across the board.
Wow.
Or maybe six.
Man.
How the people talk about farming is if those farmers worked about 4 to 6 hours a day.
Yeah. In the heat of the day, they took a nap.
Right. Yeah, we work more than humans ever have.
That's the siesta. By the way, I love taking naps. I'm a nappy guy. Nappy.
I've never been good at it.
I can't sleep.
Huh?
I can't sleep.
No?
I went to bed last night at 11 o'clock, woke up at like 3 in the morning.
Oh, wow. Rick will fall asleep driving.
Best sleep is driving.
Well, all right. So I'm just going to grab a couple more verses in regard to the ones that say that make you think you can lose your salvation. Then I want to go into the perseverance of the saint verses, right? So 1 Corinthians 15, so many churches argue over the meaning of this, but let's just read the first two verses and see if we can pick up what I'm talking about. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received. Okay, they've received it. In which you stand, but what kind of ground do they have, right? Mm-hmm. And by which you are being saved, which is a continual saving, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you. Now, there's the if you hold fast to the word I preached to you. Unless you believed in vain. That's a big caveat, unless you believed in vain.
Yeah.
I mean, I said, Judas believed that Christ was the Messiah. He believed his earthly ministry was leading to an earthly kingdom. He didn't understand it in totality. So when he realized that it wasn't, he betrayed him, and then he was sorrowful for what he did and killed himself. He didn't believe the believe, not the believe. You know what I'm saying? All right, so I'm going to go 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 20, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. All right, here we go. This will be the last one I use. There's a couple more, this is the last one I'll use. For if they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. And listen to how he puts that. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. So what is he talking about there? What is he talking about? So he's talking about these people. Let's go back before. These are waterless springs. Verse 17, these are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved for speaking loud boasts. What is he talking about here? They have followed the way of Balaam. That's not a good verse to use. I'm sorry. It doesn't apply. He's talking about people that have entered into the church, but they aren't fully engaged in this as a belief. They follow the ways of Balaam. They went these other ways or went back to the old ways of Judaism.
It sounds like the thorns and the thistles and the rocky ground.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of you will know in the end who's actually a believer, the ones who persevere.
Yep. That seems to be the case.
Like me just, you know, in the earlier episodes talking about how I'm just weary. You know, I'm tired of fighting the battles or whatever. The only people who continue to fight those battles are the ones who believe. Mm-hmm. Because you wouldn't do it if you didn't believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you watch that, and I always tell people to be careful because there are times when you see people like backsliding, that's bad. Well, yeah, it happens. Like it did to me. I went into a dark place for 5 years of my life. Did I still believe that Jesus was the Christ? I did, but I wanted nothing to do with him or anyone else. I was done. But that was because of a bad divorce, choices I made, things that I did to myself. That's a lot of that stuff was on me. And that was because of him. It was like this continual pulling, this drawing that kept bringing me back. Even in those days, I refused to say anything negative about Christ. I just couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't. I was like, look, it ain't him, it's me, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Whether in your home, auto, suitcase, or hotel, you can be assured that with Carolina Cases, you can protect what matters most. Carolina Cases are TSA approved, so you know that your items are secure in a shock and impact-proof hard case. These lightweight, durable cases come with pre-cut, protective, high-quality foam to fit your pistol by make and model, compact size or full size. They come in a universal configuration for multiple options. Carolina Cases are more than a pistol case. They are available in fully customizable foam to protect what matters. You can go to their website at www.carolinacases.net to see their design of protective lid designs. Each is laser engraved to give you unmatched style at home or on the range. So to protect what matters most, visit www.carolinacases.net. That's www.carolinacases.net. Enter code Burrows, that's Burrows, at checkout to receive free shipping. That's right. Just enter Burrows at checkout and you'll receive free shipping.
All right. So now that we've read the verses that say that you or the ones that we thought you could lose your salvation, but it doesn't really seem that way because you made a good point about the ground and the types of ground. So the real believer will endure. Why don't we get into some verses that actually talk about the perseverance of the saints? And what verses of scripture for you, do you have anything, any particular part of scripture that really kind of drives it home?
Yes, but I am drawing a blank on which ones.
Well, you love Romans 8.
I do like Romans 8.
Go to Romans 8:31.
Okay. Well, yeah, you don't want to start in 28?
You can.
No, I'm just curious. That's all.
I mean, you could read all of Romans 8, but let's just go to Romans. let's read Romans 8. Verse 31. Well, he's talking about being predestined in verse 29. Let's start in verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So that's pretty rock solid, right? And then let's listen to his little question and answer session he does here. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, listen to this, folks. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is pretty rock solid about, he does that little, what do they call that? It's not the modus tollens. There's another argument. And I wish Tiziana was here because she could tell us, but he does this thing where he asks questions and then answers it himself, you know?
So Socratic? That's a Socratic.
Maybe that's Socratic, right? Yeah, yeah, whatever. So he's like, so what shall we say then, you know? Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? No, we are more than conquerors.
Oh, in other words, it's not Socratic. I apologize. I'm wrong about that. No, because Socratic is the one where he like makes open but very leading questions. He doesn't answer them himself. They're just super leading. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's – Josh Sexton actually talked about it in here one day, but I just cannot remember what it's called. But anyway, he's right there. Those verses are pretty strong, saying that we're more than conquerors, that nothing can separate us, and that we will persevere because of what he does. You know, that's what it's saying.
Do you have Ephesians chapter 1 in your retorts?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead then.
No, you go ahead. You read it.
Well, I was just, because when you get to all the way down to 13, I believe it is, I'll just read it.
Okay.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us to the adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to his kind intention of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable for the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in him. We also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works out all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we were the first to hope in Christ, that would be the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view of the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory.
Yeah, sealed.
Sealed. Like you're sealed.
Once that seal is placed upon you, that is the earnest for you.
Well, I mean, it goes on to say you were sealed.
The earnest of the Holy Spirit.
Who is given as a pledge of the inheritance with a view to redemption of God's own possession. So you have an inheritance and you're his possession. You got adoption in this tirade too. And you're adopted. Yep. There's all these things that are like legal bounding words of affirming that you're sealed in him.
But who's sealed?
Oh, here we go with the timestamp.
I gotta say it. Who's the you and we? It's the hermeneutic that we talked about earlier. The one that rules them all is the audience relevance.
What does it mean post, you know? You're going to have to do an entire series yourself on this, because if you don't, because what it's doing, like, for example, this argument regarding Calvinism and what it teaches, if we keep on bringing full preterist thought and then using the hermeneutic.
I'm not even trying to bring that part.
You're saying that Paul is talking to the people that are alive in that day until the destruction of the temple.
And it was very important when he was telling them, and you're right, they were sealed.
Right. So what does that mean for the believer today? That's what I mean. Because of that, because you're saying that, you have to study that out and say, okay, what does that mean for the believer today? Are they sealed by the same Holy Spirit? Are they still sealed by the same? Are you sealed questions. By the same Holy Spirit?
Because, again, it gets to the question at the end of this. I'll wait for that, but we can talk about it at the end, because there leads a question to point of what we're talking about.
Okay, all right. Well, when you said in Christ earlier,
yes.
Here's another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 9, I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, they're waiting for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he's talking about in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ.
Referred to in the day.
He keeps talking about in the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ or in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In the day.
In that day. He's saying he's going to hold you to that day.
Yes.
Right. Colossians 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There's that hidden again. When I talked about how we're in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you will appear with him in glory.
Which is,
again, is talking about that timing.
It's that time. It's always in it. It's every part of it.
Always. Every single time.
You can't get away from it.
But we have to do, that's got to be a separate study. It just has to. I mean, we could do it, but we're at the end of this study. I mean, obviously we could carry on, but so the question remains, like when you talk about enduring until you're saved or being held until the day of the Lord.
Is about salvation.
Yeah. So what happens to people now? If you're talking about eschatology, this is where it gets weird, because if you start talking about fulfilled eschatology, you have to ask the question, are we the same as the believers prior to the destruction? What happened? Were the elect gathered? Were they not? If they were, what are the ramifications of the people who are alive today? Are you saved today? Do people have the same salvation as the people before?
Saved from what?
Saved from what?
What are you saved from?
The same thing that he talked about before. The law of Christ tells you about the sinful body. You say that there is no sin because there's no law. I say there's sin in the body because it's going to die. The body is going to die.
Absolutely.
You can't avoid it.
All right, so that gets
in. What if I get like a lot of money?
You can still die.
I have a question for you, Rick Carter.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a salvation story?
I would say yes, I do. But it was based on the knowledge that of the Bible that I understood at the time.
Okay.
So, yes.
I feel it fitting, and I know this might go over time, but I feel it fitting for me to give my testimony.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Bring it.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Whether in your home, auto, suitcase, or hotel room, you can be assured that with Carolina Cases, you can protect what matters most. Carolina Cases are TSA approved, so you know your items are secured in a shock and impact-proof hard case. These lightweight, durable cases come with pre-cut, protective, high-quality foam to fit your pistols by make and model, compact size, or full size. They also come in a universal configuration for multiple options. Carolina Cases are more than a pistol case. They are available in fully customizable foam to protect what matters. You can go to their website at www.carolinacases.net to see their designer protective lid designs. Each is laser engraved to give you unmatched style at home or on the range. So protect what matters most. Visit www.carolinacases.net. That's www.carolinacases.net. Enter code Burrows at checkout to receive free shipping. That's right. Just enter the code Burrows at checkout and you'll receive free shipping.
My testimony is I didn't grow up in church, so I had no word of God.
Yeah.
Okay. Preached to me.
Right.
I remember one time when I was a little kid being in a church, but it was me and a friend of mine, and we were actually making fun. It must have been a Catholic or a Methodist church, because I know we were making fun of the whole the thing that you do. Where
I'm
going
to patre.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost like
we were making
Catholic.
Fun of that while my mom was talking to somebody or something like that. And so that's the only time I remember being in church when I was a kid. So fast forward, I mean, I was a basic bad kid, little skateboarder punk. Did a lot of bad stuff when I was, I mean, I get high the first time at 13, drank alcohol at 12. I mean, did a lot of bad stuff, like your typical little skater punk and everything like that. Grew up in a single household with my mom.
I should have guessed when you said Primus. I should have been like a skater.
Yeah, dude, I was the epitome of the little skater punk. So never went to church, right? So I had no church background. The only thing I knew of church is the Christians that I went to high school with that would occasionally try to give you the gospel, but I don't even remember any of that at all, even to this day. So fast forward to 17 years old, I started hanging out in the square in Springfield, Missouri, where I'm from, which is like a little skater hangout of degenerates and everything like that. Like, it was just everything from this little emo kids to, you know, and it was a good place to skateboard too. But I mean, there was just, it's a place that just all the degenerates hung out and like that. So of course I hung out there and I would skateboard and things like that. And so I met this girl named Misty at the time.
Sounds like a wholesome lady.
Yeah. And she was a little skater girl, if you want to say that, and like that. So time went on. We fell in love. And at the same time, there was these guys that were window washers. That's how they knew each other. But they also went to Baptist Bible College, which I mentioned in one of the other episodes, that would come down there to preach the gospel to all of us. Because we're little degenerates. Obviously, we need Christ, right?
And how old are you at this point?
I'm 17.
17.
17.
Okay.
And I was already living on my own and everything like that. I've been on my own since I was 16. A whole other story. But so they came down, would come down every single weekend. And so over time, I got to know them because they would target me and everything like that. I was like Andy was earlier when we were all debating and everything like that. Very argumentative, would debate them on and stuff and everything like that.
I feel like I've been slandered.
You have, except I did it to your face, so it can't be slandered. And it was,
that's right.
And it was not untrue.
I just want you to know that he stopped recording a little while ago.
Yeah,
and it wasn't real.
I'm gonna edit it back together. I'll steal some marks in a different place and be like, Andy, so smart.
And it wasn't written down. So,
yeah. All right. So, got to know those guys and everything like that, and found out what they did for a living. And I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of a cool job and everything like that. Because at the time, I was one of those guys that would go work at the places where you, like day labor type stuff, and just make enough money to make my bills and then go skateboard. Right. And so I got to know them, and they told me what they did, and I was like, sounds like a cool job. And so I tried to get that job, ended up becoming one of them and everything like that. So window washing, I was in love with this girl, Misty.
No,
and
this is like not just standing, this is like high rise.
Yeah, like, yeah, we're
like
talking
high rise
like,
window washing.
Hanging from ropes and stuff like that. And like that.
That's how many stories?
It's hard to say. The highest I've ever been cleaning windows was 180 feet.
That's enough.
That's so, plenty. Plenty of people, you understand?
Technically, that's, 18 stories or whatever like that? Nah. But it was a weird building that didn't have actual stories.
Gotcha.
Like, it had sections in between for the HVAC and all that stuff.
Yeah, so for the listener, he is really up there.
Yeah, yes. So
this ain't, you know, on a stepladder.
So here I am. I've got this girl that I'm in love with. You know, we're probably going to get married and everything like that when we get older and everything like that. And I start working with these guys that are married and have wives and like that, going to Baptist Bible College and going to be pastors and like that. Got the same job that they do, making the same money. And I remember that they would always be like, you need Jesus. And I would always be like, well, what do I need him for? Okay. Like, why do I need him? I've got, and so now being the same job, making the same money, got a girl that's as pretty as their wives and like that, that I'm going to marry. I would be like, what do I need Jesus for? I have the same thing you have. Right. And I remember saying this specifically to them one day when I was working with one of them close by. His name is James Thomason. He's a pastor in Massachusetts now. But I said it to him at the time. I was like, what do I need Jesus for? And I have the same thing. Dude, I'm telling you, like, that me and Misty, who never fought, never got in any arguments, started fighting all the time to the point where she would leave in the middle of the night from my apartment and like that and walk home. I mean,
are you fighting about Christ?
No,
basically?
We're just fighting over nothing.
Okay, gotcha.
I can't even tell you what we were fighting over to this day, right? But it was like that when that question was proposed. What do I need Jesus for? I said that statement. I remember it vividly. And so time goes by. She finally breaks off with me. I was devastated. My whole world was her and skateboarding, okay? I'm 18 at this point, and I'm devastated to the point where I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep, couldn't do, I mean, like, just all I did was go to work, dwell on how I could get her back. Just dwell on it, just over, I mean, just repeating in my head, how can I get Misty back? What can I do different? What were we fighting about? I just dwelled on it all the time. And so weeks go by, and it's just an ongoing just depression and everything like that. And so I'm on this construction cleanup, it was only like a two-story building or whatever, but it is monotonous work, right? I mean, the job itself is monotonous anyway because you're doing the same thing over and over again. But this is where you have to wet the window with the fleece, scrape the whole window with these big 6-inch scrapers that we had, squeegee it off, and if there's anything on it, you got to just repeat the process until everything comes off. We're talking silicone, stucco stuff that is overspray, just everything. So one window can take you 15, 30 minutes. I mean, like, so it gets so monotonous that all you can do is think. That's all you can do is think. And so just over and over again. And I'm on this big, long run of windows or whatever, probably 100 windows. And so it's taking all day. And I'm just, the only thing I did was go eat lunch, which I really didn't eat lunch because I was not eating. And I'm on this third window from the end. And like Paul on the road to Damascus, I'm saying, what did I do wrong? How can I fix this? How can I change this? And I called an audible voice just inside, internal, whatever you want. It was Jesus saying, you need me. So what I'm telling you is at that moment, I went from one of my dating criteria is that she could not be a Christian, didn't want anything to do with Christians, to all of a sudden now I'm so dumbfounded that I'm like, I need Christ. I believe. One moment I don't believe and now I believe. So I say all that to say this. I say my testimony to say this. How does that happen if there's not a quickening anymore? If there's not a salvation anymore? That's according to the gospel that we just read in Ephesians, being dead in Christ. How does that happen? Because I know it happened to me.
Yeah. It's hard to argue experience.
And against the crazy thing of the whole thing, we're talking about sovereignty of God and everything like that. When I got done with that, so I'm dumbfounded at this point. So now I'm thinking about what just happened on the last three windows.
Right.
To the end of the day. And I get, we had these little, Motorola used to make a little voice recorded pager.
Yeah.
Where you could actually call the phone number and leave a message and you could play it on the, it had a little speaker and everything like that and you could play it. And we had them for the job so that our boss could send us messages, but we could also send each other messages like, hey, I'm coming to help you, things like that. Wow. But we had to have an actual phone to be able to call and leave the message, but you could listen to it.
Gotcha.
So if you needed pertinent information from the boss.
Best I had was an Alpha pager.
Right. And so I get a text from James Thomason, the guy I was talking about or whatever, and he was the one that preached to me the most, right, and everything like that about the gospel. And he sent me a text. He's like, hey, man, it's Friday, and this was on a Friday. And he's like, hey, it's Friday, and my wife went out of town and everything like that. I was just going to watch a movie. Just wanted to know if you wanted to come and hang out. He never said that. Never invited me over to watch a movie ever and all like that. And so in the providence of God and in his sovereignty— somehow, James must have known, indirectly or directly, that something changed that day. Right. I go over and watch that movie, eating chips and salsa and all like that. And when the movie is over, I was like, James, I don't know what happened today, but I want to be a Christian.
Awesome.
So all of these providential things and the fact that at one moment I didn't believe, I was actually contrary.
Right.
To the next moment, I believe.
Right.
that everything that they've been telling me from the Word of God is true. So I don't know how to reconcile that with a universalist viewpoint that what we're reading in the Gospels, what we're reading in the epistles, how that didn't happen to me.
If you're asking me a question?
Well, it's not. I'm presenting this as an open-ended, how do you reconcile that? Because something clearly happened to me.
Absolutely.
And now...
100%.
I was 19 years old. I just turned 19 shortly before that. I'm 19 years old and get saved. I'm 45 now. So what is that, 26 years?
Yeah.
26 years later, I'm still wrestling with it, but the Holy Spirit inside me is why I wrestle with it.
Yeah.
So when we read these passages, if it's all done and it's all fulfilled because of eschatology being fulfilled, I don't know how that reconciles. It doesn't reconcile with me.
I understand.
So that being said, I still believe the gospel, and I believe it because of what I've shown to you and what I've shown to you earlier from Revelation 21 and 22, that something is still continuing. People are still getting saved. Mm-hmm. People are still being cast out. So whatever it is, whatever we know of heaven and things like that, it is still going on. So I have to say that. So
cool.
That's my position.
That's an awesome testimony.
Yeah, and it's like whenever I wrestle with people about the cessation of the gifts. You've heard my position on that, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I refuse to say it. I'm not going to be the guy that says that prophecy is done, although I don't understand
what it would be used for today.
Right.
Well, yeah. We've talked about this, and even in my own heart.
About tongues and
it
stuff.
It hurts. It hurts when me. It hurts
because
me.
You, and tell him why. You tell him your testimony in regard to the tongues. Well, just tell him.
I didn't grow up specifically in the church, but I was in and out of it. And the times that I spent, I learned from a dispensational view, and part of it was the greater desire to believe and have the gifts that they taught.
Right.
And tongues was one of them.
Right.
Until a point where I just, I started doing it. I know what it meant for me. I know what it means for me. I know what it feels like when I've done it or say do it. But I've read the words of the gospel and it doesn't line up with what I was taught and what I think it is. And that hurts. That hurts me to think that it's not the same.
Right, and I think that's where the dangers of certain systems of thought get us, because who are we to tell what others have experienced?
Absolutely.
He, Kelly, came to his conclusion because of the experience that he had. You had people that were telling you about Christ, which is the seed,
yes.
But you had to go through 100 windows before the ground was fallow enough for you to hear the word. But then you heard it, and 26 years later, obviously you had good ground. Right? But you might have heard it on not so good ground. It could have been choked out by Misty. It could have been choked out by your skater group. It could have been whatever. Or you're just doing this monotonous job, and every time you're scrubbing a window, you're scrubbing a little bit of your heart, a little bit more, that heart ground that you're working on, to where the word that they've said pierces it. And then you just know, I need Christ. The end. And that's an experience that's real, and no one can take it away, and nor should anybody want to, regardless of your eschatology. So, you know, that's why I say for like cessation of gifts, I've met a man who went to Zambia, and he did not speak their native tongue. And there was a young man that was trying so desperately to hear. He wanted to know what was being said. And suddenly he began to speak in this African tongue. And he tells me to this day, he said, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know that tongue right now. I don't. And he was so shocked, but it glorified God. Like for him, he was like, God did that for me. I could see it in the scripture, and because I've done it, I know that he still uses the gift today. But I don't have that tongue right now.
Right.
It was just for a time. So do I believe that man? Of course I do. He says, he was like, I spoke to this kid. I led him to the Lord in his own tongue, man. I didn't even know it. And guess what? He's still over there, and he's got his own church. Can you believe it? Like that kind of stuff. Or like you talking about your experience and how when your studies go to the point to where it destroys the first love that you have in your heart, let it go, guys. When I say the first love, I'm talking about the first love of Christ. any eschatological system, any theological system that destroys that first love that you had and makes you go down a path where you forget it, end it. Just put it away for a while. The scriptures are clear. There's a time for everything, okay? There's a time for war, a time for peace, whatever. But
that's my favorite book.
You do like that?
I love Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
My wife hates it.
That's one of Tiziana's favorites.
It's my favorite.
It is once you actually read that book, it is kind of an eye-opener when you read it.
It really is. But that's why I say that. Do I say give up church? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is go back to your first love. We talk about that a lot in here.
Yeah.
You know, like the thing that called you, that's something that I'll never forget. I'll share a little bit of, now that we've talked about it enough on this podcast, Cherry has said it enough that where you guys know I led her to Christ. I led her, and then my friend Keith Locklear led her husband to Christ, Rodney. And I've talked about how I fasted for days, and that was for Rodney. I don't know why. I haven't fasted since. Does it look like I've ever fasted in my life? I've never, you know what I'm saying? I could go for a fast right now. But truthfully, I had this burden that came upon me about him in general, Rodney in general. He was a meth addict. And for whatever reason, I had this compassion for him. I could just see where this was continuing. He'd already been in prison. He was still dealing with this. He was still messing around with the women. And I could see that just, it was just a horrible situation. And I just remember in my prayer one night where his name could not come out of my ears. It was so deafening. It just became all-encompassing to me, to where I just decided, I know what the Bible says. Whenever you have, if there's a demon in somebody, do I believe in demons? Oh, well, look, I do. I mean, according to the Old Testament, are they here today? I don't know, but I can tell you I've seen some weird stuff. But I can tell you about Rodney. What I saw was that there was something in his life that was talking to him and keeping him from what I was trying to share. And so all I remember is that Jesus had that father that had a son that the disciples couldn't get that demon out of him. And that scripture came to mind. I didn't just read it that. Yeah. Do what?
Prayer and fasting.
And that's what he said. He was like, nothing could do it other than prayer and fasting. Sometimes that's what it takes. So I just remember, I started thinking about all the things that Jesus said in regard to fasting. Wash your face, wash your hair, look presentable, let no one know. Whatever you do in secret. I told my wife at the time, I said, listen, I want nobody to know, and I don't want you to let the kids know. Like, we are going to do this, and no one's going to know. Okay. 6 days, I went through this. I didn't feel hungry. It was just such a burden. Guys, when I saw them get saved, my fast was ended the minute I saw them arrive at my church, and I didn't invite them. They were invited weeks before, but they heard that we were having that. They didn't even know if we were there. They show up. Suddenly I'm hungry, blah, blah, blah. That is an experience that I cannot take away that increased my faith so much, and I still look back at it. So go ahead and tell me that my fasting didn't have anything to do with it when I can tell you that it did. Do I take credit for it? No, that was brought on by God to me, and I did it because he burdened me with it. So that was one of those moments where I'm working the will, that good work that he's talking about, is the work that he laid out before me, and I went into that path, and then I saw the fruit of the labor, and I had nothing to do with it. It was just a heart for someone else and asking God to intervene, and then I watched him do it. But guess what? He sovereignly did that before the world was ever made. All of that is him. You know what I mean? If I hadn't have fasted, what would have happened? Well, I promise you, they would have been saved, but it may not have been through me, but this was through us. Working together, working in him. So that's my experience. You have your experience with tongues. You have your experience with the total understanding your depravity, but at the same time, just being completely awakened. And then reading the scriptures and understanding them as they were. Everybody's got their experience. If you are going to tell somebody that their experience is not of God, I warn you all, and I've said it over and over, I warn you, in this age or any age to come, you cannot do it. Do not limit the Spirit of God. You cannot. And if you do, you are in danger yourself. I'm sorry, but that is what Scripture says, and I've seen it experientially. Don't tell people that the gifts have ceased. Now that you got your Bible, God doesn't speak because he's already said what he said. Wrong. God can do whatever he wants, and he doesn't need that little book in your hand to do it. He'll use a man that doesn't know an African language to lead a boy to him. He can do it and will. against your own will. You can't stop it. So, man, this has been a really good session. I guess because I talked and heard myself talk so much. That's how, you know how that works.
I do.
No, this has been a good study.
Yeah, it has been.
Speaking of stories, though, this is a short one.
Okay.
So I, at one time, I considered doing the New Tribes Institute, which is like where they I literally go learn how to break down a language and go to a tribe that's never seen white man and everything like
oh,
that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. At one time, I considered that. And so there was this girl that I was friends with at my church that was going to that school. And she had talked about this one couple of missionaries, and they were both married and everything like that, but they decided to go on a little plane to where these people group were and everything like that. And apparently these were like bad cannibal type people, right? Mm. And so they land, and then probably heard the story about the ones where the guys actually get killed or whatever.
Yeah, one tribe.
Right.
They were like, don't come here.
Right.
People had contacted them before, and they were like, no, it'll be different when we go.
So this one was similar to that, right? And so they land, and they're like that, and here comes the cannibals out of the jungle, and they're ready to kill them, right? Like that. And they both get down on their face and just start praying. And then all of a sudden, the cannibals disappear, right, when they get up from praying. And they finally, later on, make contact with this cannibal tribe and everything like that, and finally break down their language. We're talking like years later and everything like that, and they finally can speak to them and everything like that plainly. And they go, why didn't you all kill us that day? We just expected to die like that other group did that was, you know, that they talked about and everything like that. And they go, well, we were going to. And then all of a sudden, you guys are surrounded with the guys with a bunch of swords and shields around you.
Mm.
And we didn't know what to do, and we booked it out of there. That's the craziest story I've ever heard or whatever, but talk about like a spiritual angelic kind of thing or whatever that happened to those guys. Tell them that their experience wasn't real. They were about to die and be eaten.
Yeah, go ahead and tell them. Yeah, feel free, but I wouldn't. I would just avoid it.
Right, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
There's crazy stories out there. Like
whenever I was in high school, my 10th grade year, I had this substitute teacher by the name of Mr. Penninger. I'll never forget the guy. He was a short little man. He looked like the Penguin, and his name was Penninger. He looked like Danny DeVito as the Penguin, actually.
Kind of a tough lot that guy got.
Yeah, except his hair was gray. And he had these funny little unique mannerisms, the way that he spoke and everything. And he just out of the blue, you know, and again, he's a substitute. He starts telling a story. And it was in regard to a group that he was a missionary that he was a part of, had a very similar type story. But he said, but what we found out was that the reason why they decided not to hurt us was because they saw these 15 feet things that were behind us. And he said, guys, I've never seen anything 15 feet in my life, but they described it to us. And so all we could figure is it must have been an angel or something. We don't know. Like, we have no idea, but right. They claim they saw something 15 feet tall behind us. And so they didn't mess with us. Now he's not asking us to become a believer, and he's just telling us story. You know, he's like, but that's his experience that he had.
Right.
You know, maybe those people were doing, what is it called? Ayahuasca or ayahuasca?
Yeah, ayahuasca. Ayahuasca.
The way these guys in that tribe explained it, they were just like, they look like dudes that had swords and shields. We didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Just appeared.
Yeah.
So it was a crazy story, but I still remember that to this day.
I know. I've heard a lot of similar kinds of stories, but
he keeps looking back at me.
Yeah.
He's like, you believe yet?
Yeah. Now, just remember, anybody that would like to send Andy a direct gospel, it's andy@burrowsofberea.com. In your little subject line, put, please, Andy, please.
Do you believe yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Short and polite, and maybe I'll read it. If I don't, nothing personal. I'm just busy.
I prefer the fire and brimstone ones. You're going to go to hell.
Hey, I know like non-Christians that collect the tracks. Old chick tracks because of the art, especially and
they
stuff.
They actually
and
just have a value.
It's just to collect them. Like, it's just like a fun thing to do. So I know people that aren't Christians that are like super into that.
There are chick tracks that I think that are held at a very high value. If you have some in a specific year.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, specifically, they have to be the chick tracks, Drion. Yep. And most of it, a lot of the value is based on actually the artist.
Yep, yep.
So
I forget
the
name. There's
artist.
One real famous one. That,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of those old ones are very comic book-esque.
Yeah.
I mean, very.
Yeah, that guy's art has value.
Yeah.
When we were kids, we used to, you know, go cruising. like up on Patton, or we go cruising on Main Street, and there was always the one guy that had the tracks. You'd have your windows down, bumping, you know, playing The Chronic by Dr. Yeah. Dre, and he'd walk up and say, "Here, guys," and you'd look at it, and it's like got people like burning in hell. And you're like, what is
now,
this?
Same thing. Now you look back, and you're like, I should have just kept them.
This would have been worth money.
I could have sold it off.
I like them because they're silly, which I don't mean to be offensive, but they kind of come off as silly, and the art's fun and comic-y. Like, what's wrong with that?
I know, I could have saved them and sold them on eBay with my pound puppies.
Yeah,
does anybody remember those?
Oh, yeah, I had a pound puppy.
I knew people that used to get them from McDonald's and, like, steal them from kids and
stuff. I wish I stole my original G.I. Joes.
Yeah, some of those, if you get, especially the foot-tall ones, the old ones.
I had the original ones, I know what you're talking about, but, like, the original smaller ones, but, like, the first.
The Hasbro? Yep.
Yeah, yeah, like, man, those were dumb little me. I used to take them apart and change out the legs.
Well, you're
and stuff.
A kid. Yeah, I had He-Man. I did the same thing.
Guess who still has the 70s version of the Millennium Falcon and all of those little Hasbro toys.
No, really?
Me.
That's amazing.
I have them in my home.
You better not tell anybody where you are.
Bragger. I play with them.
Bragger.
No, yeah. They're not in the box.
Bragger.
I still play.
That's awesome.
If I want to boast, I will boast.
I have thousands of dollars worth of Transformers.
I know.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
You have some of the originals?
That's hitting me home. Oh, I love
it. Wow.
Transformers were my jam. Yes. More than He-Man even.
Yeah, I'll show you. When we get done with the podcast, I'll show you.
Do you have Starscreamer?
Oh, I've got a bunch of them.
Punch you in the mouth. Did you have all the Decepticons?
No.
Listen, it's talking about.
Yes,
I know, this is great.
I love it. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I have all the what they call the Seekers.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They were called the Seekers.
That's early.
Yes.
Okay. So
Starscream, Thundercracker.
Uh huh.
Skywarp. Those were some of the original Seekers.
Yeah.
Then you had the Coneheads that were.
I assume you have Optimus Prime.
Oh. Plenty of those.
Of course. Oh, so, you have more than one.
Oh, tons.
Have you seen they made that one Dinobot and an Optimus Prime that are remote controllable and they transform and transform back and
like
he can
life
walk?
Size now?
Well, the size of the old toys.
Oh,
basically.
Yeah, but he actually can do it.
But they transform and are they big?
He's this tall.
Yeah, they transform and they roll and they walk. And
yes.
They could like, you know,
I have it.
Whatever.
I have that in the trailer.
That's super cool.
I have. You remember Voltron?
Yes.
I've got them all.
Oh, do you?
With the lions. Oh, yeah. And he can, and he goes, and he actually.
Yes.
Okay, wow, we need to end this podcast.
Most people that had a Voltron back then, they don't have it all anymore.
This is Kelly's. We stole it from him. He's like, dork.
No. Dorks. I'm actually jealous. I said, I wish I still had my original G.I. Joes.
Do you remember Robotech?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just picked up the original, that station.
Oh, yeah.
The actual space station that they were on
in the
original.
Oh, yeah, the big, yeah.
Yeah, it was Matchbox. I just picked up
that's
one.
That's amazing.
Wow, that's super crazy.
Cool.
Yeah. You guys remember the Hot Wheels thing that you had the...
I had
garage.
That. Yep. Yes, it would fold up like a suitcase. Had a garage, car wash.
You
start at the top.
I had all that stuff, and I don't have any of
that. Most of the original...
You know what I do have, though?
What?
Thousands and thousands of rounds of ammo.
That's hilarious.
This, but that's not as cool.
Yeah.
Want to bet?
It's not as cool.
It will transform you into a riddled mess.
Want to see who will have the more bartering?
You
want to
be holy?
Yeah.
You can be holier than thou.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you're right. They're worth more money, but that doesn't make them cooler.
When when the world grows the crap, I'll be the one bartering.
That's right.
You guys will be playing with your toys, starving to death.
I won't have to, because if it comes down to like gouging somebody's eyes out for a hamburger, just kill me. I'm fine. I don't care that much.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
I don't want to be a part of that.
Have you ever heard of, you know who Bill Burr is?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard Bill Burr talk about the apocalypse when he decided he wanted a gun?
Yeah.
Because he said, I realized I was the guy that was going to get turned upside down and they were going to shake all the coins out of my pocket.
He's like, so funny.
He's like, I'm the guy saving. He's like, I've got a windmill. I've got plenty of food, but I don't have a way to protect myself. I'm going to be the guy upside down. They shake the coins out of the pocket and take my stuff.
Have you seen the one where he had his landscaper and he's telling the story about his landscaper gets a 38 out and they go down to the end of the road where there's a burnout car and they shoot at it. Have you heard that one?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I'll look it up.
You got to watch the one where he's in like Georgia or something like that doing the stand up. And he's like, he's in the middle of it. And he goes, at this point, most people start laughing when I tell this story. You all guys are like, huh? tell me more. Yeah. Like, this is normal.
Yeah. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, we know what you're talking about. That's hilarious.
It's not just Georgia. I'm from upstate New York, and that would be.
But it was just so funny. He was like dumbfounding when he's doing the stand-up, and he's just like, most people are laughing at this point. And you guys are just like, tell me more.
Yeah. So, Kelly, do you want to come back again and maybe do another study in the future?
If I have time.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds good.
I love this. Look, one of my favorite pastimes, believe it or not, besides shooting guns, is debating scripture and talking about it.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. That's why we've...
And you listen to a butt ton of podcasts.
Yeah, and that's why we've opened our house to have the small group at our house so that we can have fellowship and talk about it, because I am a better believer when I'm around believers more.
Yeah, I would agree. That's one of those things that I would continue to do. Definitely.
Because, I mean, this is a dumb reason, and it's an excuse, and I know it is, so I'm caveating it with that, but I am worse at EPS because I'm around a bunch of heathens most of my life.
Ah. Well.
It's hard to have the fire burning when you're amongst burned out coal.
I mean, there's something to that. Maybe, you know, I hate to say it again, but maybe you should go to work for FedEx.
Well, when they merger, they'll be fed up.
Yeah. Merger?
Never. Yeah.
They're probably owned by the same two corporations anyway.
They're not.
Well, at least you don't work for D.
I can promise. But I do have a solution for my job, and it's probably going to happen this year. I'm just going to take a rural route so I don't have as much.
Kelly, I enjoyed this. We're going to release one of these, as you guys know by now, once a month. So hopefully we'll have another study together in the future. That'd be great. But thanks for doing that, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Yep. I loved it.
It was good to have you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andy, thanks for recording it twice.
No problem.
Three times. Wait,
did you actually get it recorded this time?
Everything but the testimony. Anyway, terrible. Big Daddy, thanks for driving up, man. And guys, I hope you enjoyed this. Go check out CarolinaCases.net. Every time you buy something, I get to make more podcasts, and Andy gets to eat.
It's true.
We'll talk
not
to you guys.
A lot, but he eats.
We'll talk to you guys again next time.
Food.
Ramen is food.
It's cooked noodle.
That's what I ate whenever I didn't go to college.
I still eat ramen.
I do too. I love it. We'll talk to you guys again next time on the Burrows of Berea. Peace out.
Later.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. Do you know how much blood, sweat, and tears it takes to make a podcast? None. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't cost a lot. And so if you guys don't mind, if anybody would like to give to help us with these episodes, it would be great. We'll put out even more content. And if you go to our Patreon page, just search for the Burrows of Berea, you'll get extra notes, extra episodes, and it's pretty much free. A dollar gets you a lot. Thanks, guys.